This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Have mercy, Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Brad on E! Overcast day. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains over here in the east of Slovakia, hence Postcard from Poprad. But there's snowing everywhere. I'm going to a ball at the weekend. And what else can I tell you? Not a lot, really. Every time I park my car outside, it starts red in the morning because I cut it out of the garage. But then by the time I go home, it's all white. Ridiculous. Don't understand. Lee Banks is over in the flood area of England, I suppose.
Well, there's no floods, and you mentioned cars.
I'm saying nothing. We're not mentioning that at the moment.
What, that I have dinked my Bentley?
No, it's not a Bentley, it's a Chrysler.
It's a Bentley.
It's a Chrysler.
Well, it is a Chrysler, it's a Chrysler Bentley, and we're not mentioning that we've dinked it, and you've already told people and lied about it.
Me?
You just said it wasn't a Bentley.
It's not.
It is!
Are you Bentley?
And it's got a dent in it!
Bentley?
Why does everybody think it's funny that I'm denting my car?
It's a Bentley!
It's a Bentley! It's a Bentley!
I did that joke myself on Facebook! That's why I'm not laughing! It's an old joke from an old man that I did earlier this week!
Right, that'll do. Equally, I will say, before we introduce Mark and Rachel, I should share with everybody, the reason that he dinged his car, put a dent in it, probably because it's made of papier-mâché because it's a Chrysler, is because he fell over trying to pump the tyres up.
Yes, that's not funny. What am I laughing at? He's got a dent in it.
Trying to pump his tyres up.
Yes, he's trying to pump his tyres up. He went backside over apex, and the you know that little tiny that weighs nothing, dear listener, bit that you put on your tyres. He hit his car with that, and it's dinged. It's got a dent in it. What a car is that? I don't know.
It was a big thing. It's one of those pump your tyre up things, and it was big and it was swinging because I fell. It went through the air in the big arc, and it had all air coming out of it. It was jet propelled.
Absolutely.
To it.
Mark's never had that problem with his push bike. Mark Gander, the co-founder of the Consumer Action Group in Paris. Hello, Mark.
Yes, hello there, everybody. Yes, it's actually very bright weather and very blue. Blue up in the air.
Oh,
yes.
In the air. Oh, thank goodness. I thought there was a change of heart there for a moment.
No.
I've seen those blue films from Paris.
And swimming to her new studio in Queensland, to her new studio, it's Rachel H.P.B.
he has to whisper that because sensors could get him.
Mark, it stands for
Hot Pants Brunson.
That's the one.
That's the one.
All right.
Yeah,
hello,
Rachel.
Hello. I haven't dinged anything. And I'm very happy. And I haven't slipped over. I'm very, very tired. It's very, very late, but that's all right. The show must go
slippery
on.
When wet.
Actually, the past of to ding something actually is dung.
It's a dung ho car.
Making jokes out of my car.
It comes from all that horse meat.
Ah, very good. Very good. I like that one. Yeah, so what's it like to drive a dinged Chrysler then, Lee?
Well, it doesn't drive any differently. It drives exactly the same. It's just, like I said, I had to go to Manchester in it yesterday, and I felt all right there because it just looked like it had been shot like all the rest of the cars, like some Mancunian gangster had put a bullet through it.
I would also like to point out to the listeners that he had to help the moths come out on crutches out of his wallet this week as well, because... Hey. He had to buy two new tyres for his car.
Oh, no, you know what happened on that? No. That's disgusting.
Why?
Because, I went into a tyre fit place. Uh-huh. I won't say which one, but they're quite quick, right? And I said to them, in a joking fashion, because I have this Bentley sitting outside there, they're all admiring, they're all drooling at it, and I got Andrea draped over the dink so they couldn't see that. And I just said in a joking fashion, if you say it needs all four tyres, I'm going to scrap it. Like that. And he came back in and says, you need four tyres. Oh, man, you know how much the tyres are?
I know.
Very expensive, I imagine.
£280 each!
Yeah, that's probably just for retreads.
Good grief. You see?
You want to tread really carefully when you do
that. Was coming. The trouble is, Lee, when you buy these old bangers...
You talk about Rachel like that.
When you buy these old bangers for about £1,000, because it's cheaper than somebody scrapping them, then you have to expect to pay the consequences with new tyres.
Tyres are more expensive than the car.
Absolutely. You should see his radio. It's got valves in it, and that's worth more.
My radio talks to my phone.
And?
What does it say?
I don't know.
Matt got him.
It would be eavesdropping, wouldn't it? I mean, you know.
Well, yes, exactly. Thank you, Mark. You're quite right. It would be eavesdropping. Mm.
Anyway, let's move along, boys and girls, because we should say hi to Talk Radio X, Replay Radio, and, of course, the lovely folks on Spreaker and on Audio Boo and wherever else. And actually, you just reminded me, Lee, have you seen the story about what car manufacturers are doing guaranteed by 2014?
What?
No, the serious story. It's a real one. Yeah, next year. They're actually saying that all cars are going to come out next year in Europe with built-in internet in them.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, we need that.
Why?
I can get that on my car.
What?
I can get the internet on my car.
Can you?
Yeah.
How?
Yeah, but the cable's not long enough. You can't drive 5 kilometres down the road.
No, you don't have to plug it. I use my phone, dear. I'm a man of the modern age. I use my phone. I Bluetooth it, and the inter thing comes out on the screen on my very old car that's in the middle of the dashboard that is like a television screen.
That's right.
Yeah. Which you watch while you're driving.
Well, yeah, because this car drives itself.
No,
That's another thing that's coming out soon.
Yeah, exactly. if the regulators will approve it in England, so they can do some tests on it.
It parks itself. It does that parking thing. It's crap at it, though. It's worth
We've got
100.
That one.
Yeah,
that's boring. Boring.
Oh, get lost.
That's boring. That's no good at all.
What?
Rachel, do you drive a Holden?
Oh, good. No. I drive a Subaru.
A Subaru?
Subaru.
Subaru.
That's a banana.
I heard rumour they're stopping selling the Subarus over in England.
Are they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. It's
a marvellous car. It's marvellous.
They are rather magnificent. I'll tell you what.
What's a Subaru like?
It's a boy racer's car.
Fantastic.
I thought they were little, like, big, fat, wobbly 4x4s.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh.
No.
They go faster saloon cars.
Oh, right. I'm sorry, Rachel. I thought you had a big, fat, wobbly one.
No.
No. Well, I do, but that's nothing to do with the car. But it's
you're disgusting.
Really, it goes like the clappers. It really does.
Yeah, they do. Lunatic. You can do great donuts with them, can't you, Rach?
Yeah, heaps good donuts.
Yes, exactly. This is supposed to be a news programme. Where are we going with it?
Well, we've just got the news. Rachel's got a big wobbly one that goes like the clappers on a donut.
I'll tell you what is really, really nice. If you're thinking about being eco-friendly and you want a car that goes like hot doobries off a shovel.
Yeah.
A 2 litre diesel Megan Sport.
Oh, that's a puff car.
It's brilliant.
Never heard
that's
of it.
It is unbelievable.
Old men who can't walk to their studio.
It's unbelievably fast. It's got beautiful Caribbee seats in it.
It's a girl car. It's called Megan.
It's always covered in snow. What's the point of that?
Yeah, exactly, because it doesn't go very fast. It doesn't blow the snow off. It goes that fast.
Excuse me, it's 30 degrees C in the summer, so why should I worry? Not only that, it's got an Xbox 360 steering wheel.
I'm sold.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, moving on to the news, which we've been mucking about for 10 minutes. The Pope has decided he's going to retire, and I'll let Lee do his sick joke.
Which sick joke?
The one,
let me do mine.
The one that everybody nicks off the internet from me. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I nicked it what? First.
She nicked it, but go on, you can do it then, Rachel.
Okay. The Pope has a dish named after him called Ex Benedict.
That was a typical woman telling a joke. It was murdered.
It was like the rolling of that little dust ball on a on a.
That is.
I hear the crickets chirping.
I thought the eggs benefit. I thought the eggs Benedict reference was because it was Benedict and he was so fragile, which is why he was going.
Well, yeah. It was like that on the tumbleweed. Now I actually think he's being very sensible.
I do as well. I think it's a very good idea that he should retire. What does amaze me, and I don't mean this in a facetious way, ladies and gentlemen, but in Philippians 4:13 in the Bible, it says, "I can do all things through He who gives me strength," and the Pope is retiring due to lack of strength. Now, that's a bit confusing, isn't it?
Well, no, because he's run out of strength. It makes sense.
Yeah. In fact, really, you could say that his retirement is scriptural, then.
Yes, exactly.
Well, yeah, actually, pastoral, yes.
Yeah.
It's nice to see a figurehead actually leave, you know, before they're overdue to, you know, before they wear out their welcome or die.
Is that going to happen to your Prime Minister, then?
Oh, God. No, she'll be executed this year.
She's great.
She's
she's horrendous.
Oh, blimey, that thing that she handed out there about, you know, I'm not going to take this, and all this, it was fantastic. That
not the one on the interweb.
About the one that, when she was responding to the sort of sexism of that character across the wide.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yes,
yeah.
that was a powerful woman. Speech.
I fell in love immediately. Fantastic.
It was her one good speech in her entire term. The way she got that prime ministership was knifing the other guy in the back. And now, because that was a good speech, she rolls it out every single question time. She's ad nauseum. She also went to the same primary school that I did, and she's a redhead. She's got to go.
Right. I say no more. Anyway, I think the old Pope's done a good job. I think he's been sensible. He's got out before he's, you know, curling his toes up, and it does make sense. And I just wish I'm with you, Rachel. I wish other leaders would do the same thing.
Well, I think that's right. At 86, let's face it, 86, you no longer want people kissing your ring, do you?
Well, no. I don't want it at 42, but, you know.
anyway, we wish
him... the next Pope, then.
We wish him... I don't know. Well, there's a lot of gossip saying the next Pope's going to come from Africa because that's the sort of biggest congregation of Catholics around the world.
Well, very worrying about that because one of the preeminent African candidates is Cardinal Turkos, who, apart from anything else, screened a video to a meeting showing how apparently Islamic people, Muslim people, were flooding Europe and showed them being an absolutely monstrous danger. I mean, if that's the kind of we're going to have, then quite frankly, no, thank you.
Let's have somebody who can talk to the majority of Muslims in a sensible way and just ignore the loony ones.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the easy way out.
Yeah.
There is a story going around. You know, this is just a newspaper story. It's a bit of fun, really. But it might have a serious element to it because they're saying that according to the 12th century prophecy of the popes, the next pope will actually be the last pope, which ultimately sort of spells the end of the world, which ties in well with the next story, doesn't it?
No.
It does.
It doesn't.
Yes.
Maybe the next pope will be a woman.
Mr. Wilch, you got it wrong.
Please say that again, Lee.
What?
Mr. Wilch, you got it wrong, Judah.
Rachel said, pick on
her,
not me.
You got it wrong.
Yeah, she's singing it. Pick on her, pick on her.
No, I would like Lee to say it again, please.
Okay.
Mark, are you ready? Mr. Wilch, you got it wrong.
Really?
Yes.
What have you got wrong?
What did I get wrong?
Pardon?
What did I get wrong then?
Mind you, what did you get right? I mean, I didn't know that you talked about this at all.
Well, last week, Mark, we were talking about a comet coming around.
Yes, also the asteroid.
No, we talked specifically about the comet going through Clark's belt.
This is a harbinger of doom.
No, this is a meteor shower, nothing to do with the asteroid we were talking about last week, which is horrendous, actually, and does prove what would have happened in a small way had I got it wrong about the asteroid, which I didn't.
Yes,
the meteor shower came out over Paris as well.
Yes.
Everybody woke up this morning, there's these brown things everywhere. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Well, actually, the Parisians
there's
didn't notice
the brown.
Any different.
Yeah.
Most civilised people didn't like it.
Well, apparently, some people in observatories over here in Slovakia were able to see these blasts of light that were coming out. And it is quite a big story over here, because obviously we're so close to Russia.
It's a big story everywhere. And the thing is,
Mr.
Wiltshire, don't you try and skim over this. Scientists, as we speak, are actually investigating whether or not the strike of the meteors in Russia, which was a horrendous thing, and it injured 500 people, is actually related to asteroid DA14 that is about to skim the Earth.
Skimmed already?
It might be coming back.
Sorry?
It might be coming back.
Oh, is it tonight, does it?
Yes, you've even got that bit wrong.
The one's the size of a swimming pool.
Yes.
It's a bit bigger than that, isn't it?
No, a little bit bigger than that, but it doesn't matter. It depends on what size swimming pool is.
They're saying it's 45 yards or 45 metres.
That's a swimming pool. Olympic one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no.
That's 130 foot. Oh, swimming pool's not 130 feet.
Well, you haven't got an Olympic one, then, have you?
Olympic is 50 metres.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Blinking heck.
I know. I've got one about 500 metres away from me in Aqua City. I go swimming in it sometimes.
No, you don't. They are, ladies and gentlemen. He's making that up as well.
No,
he can't
I have
get his car in.
Lee.
Yeah?
I hate to tell you this.
What?
But when my car was brand new.
Yes.
There was a display of something going on in part of the complex of Aqua City in the Blue Sapphire area.
I know the Blue Sapphire area well.
And I was asked if I wouldn't mind parking my car in there. So I did.
What, in the Blue Sapphire pool? You put it in the water?
No, not in the water, adjacent to the water.
It's only so people could laugh at
you. So anyway, no, I didn't get it wrong. It's a completely different story. Don't care. That's the end of that one. more pictures of Kate in Oz.
Well, what do we say about this? Pippa Middleton's becoming the most sensational royal arse since Prince Andrew.
I'm saying nothing.
I think they ought to leave her alone. It's a waste of time, and I think that these people ought to go and fuss around and get some news.
Well, go on, Rach.
The publications in question in Australia are notorious for publishing these photographs and writing stories that are completely fabricated. They don't have any such thing as fact checkers anymore. They are notorious for it. They're constantly getting sued, and this surprises me not.
I think that's right. Well, the simple fact is that really, if she is in the position that she is in and doing what she's doing and caused a fuss over it and pretended to sue people and done all these horrendous things, why doesn't she just use a head and stop appearing half naked in public?
Well, she's entitled to some personal life. I mean, does that mean that this woman has got to go through the entire rest of her life not being able to go on holiday, not be able to put a bikini
on? Go on holiday.
You know, it doesn't matter whether she's on a sort of a private estate, which is what the last ones were, where they got her topless, or on some.
Well, some of these, Mark, that they're talking about now were actually filmed on a shot on a private island by members of the public. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, she can't win whichever way she goes.
No, she can't.
What she needs to do is behave herself and stop courting publicity and then complaining about it when she gets it.
Why is walking around in a bikini misbehaving herself? What a complete nonsense.
Mm. Well, I'm not saying it's misbehaving herself. It's quite right.
She just says she ought to behave herself. So that
in media terms, that she should be media savvy enough now to realise that because she cavorts half naked around in the public eye in within lens shot of the media that are after her, the paparazzi, and that the people of the world are interested enough to look at pictures of her. And what's wrong with this anyway? Why is she so ashamed of showing herself?
I'm sure that she's not ashamed. But
she should shut up about it.
You're talking about media interest. I think it's mediocre interest. And you're using words like cavorting. She's not cavorting. She's just on a holiday. She's just lounging on a lounger. She's just, you know, she's just in a bikini. She's just pregnant.
Somebody, well, actually,
would
I would say,
taking photographs of you in your bikini.
Actually, hang on a minute.
I'd love photos of me in my bikini to appear in magazines. I think that'd be fantastic.
And do you not think that's exactly what Casey's doing? She's doing exactly that same thing. It appeals to her ego. She's young. She's attractive.
How do you know she's got that kind of ego?
I'm just saying it appeals. Because if she didn't want it to happen, there are so many ways of avoiding it. She's allowing it to happen. The people want to see pictures of her in those sort of conditions. It's romantic. It's charming. There's nothing wrong. They're not doing pornographic pictures of her.
Nonsense. Honestly, what newspaper did you used to work for that really was going to trot this kind of stuff
Sunday
out?
Sport.
This is, I mean...
Well, I've worked for the Sunday Sport. I've worked for the Sun. I've worked for the Daily
Star.
No,
hang on. I'm still waiting to hear the name of the newspaper.
I think over the years, he's gone to Browntown.
I think we're going to move on. The
man of censorship.
Right, here we go. The horse meat scandal has carried on. I did see a lovely one with some horses running the other day saying home delivery, which I thought was quite entertaining. But the bit that, do you know what's really, really annoyed me? And I wouldn't normally stick up for a country, well, it's close to me anyway, I suppose, in Romania. And everybody jumped on the fact it was the Romanians who were at fault. No, it flipping wasn't. It was the French that were at fault.
Well, it was the English who were at fault, really.
I'm very, very pleased that if Romania gets a clean bill of health, because I can tell you, apart from anywhere else, in France, Romanians are demonised. I mean, they are hated. Mm. Racist, piggish attitudes towards them is absolutely disgusting. And I have to say, I felt so sorry if the scandal was coming out of there. And of course, we might find that it was coming out of there. But if they come out with a clean bill of health, and it's really laid at the door, for instance, of the French, and unfortunately maybe the Welsh, then I have to say, very good. I'm very pleased about it.
Well, the guy in Holland has apparently been done for mislabeling food before, who was supplying the French guys, who were in turn supplying everything else. But do you know what really got up my nose about this whole thing?
And, the smell.
No.
No. And to explain this, my father was in retail as a small shopkeeper, you know, your village store and post office for well over 30 years. And there's David Cameron standing there in Parliament saying, it's up to the shopkeepers to make sure it's labelled properly or get into trouble for it. How the hell is a small shopkeeper in a small village able to say, oh, look, there's a ready meal made by Findus. I'm just going to take it to a laboratory and have it tested. Absolutely. I mean, how stupid can you get?
The reason I said the English.
I think you can refer that to people like Tesco's. I mean, those shopkeepers are easily capable of it. And I mean, in the way that they control the market so ruthlessly, and of course, you know, they do so phenomenally well out of it, then I think they have got these responsibilities. Sure. So I think that's right.
No, I agree with you on
that. I think they're all too busy cavorting, don't you, Mike?
I think they're cavorting. That's exactly
cavorting.
Right.
Cavorting.
There is a serious point to be made, though, that the FSA in England, the Food Standards Agency, have chopped 700 food inspectors. Yeah. So it's like an open day. There is a top tip for the ladies and gentlemen at home, though.
Here we go.
That no, seriously, if you do actually find horse meat in your beef burger, you can always use... cheese to disguise it. You have to make sure that you use mascarpone, though.
I knew that was coming. Oh dear! But it's still.
So what's your main point?
Well, yeah, exactly. we'll just hoof on to the next bit. But the thing that does, as I said last week, what annoys me is they're all going on about this stuff. Nobody's. There's one bloke claiming to be ill from it. I'm waiting for the insurance claim. But other than that, we've just proven that a certain food is safe to eat. There's millions of people starving. Why not just send it to them? They'll eat it.
I think it's a good point, because what's one of the main things that we say, and I think they say it in America too, I'm that hungry, I could eat a horse. Well, that's what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, just for a change. Right. Moving along, he says.
In the Kentucky Derby. Yeah.
The French, they eat horses anyway. I mean, you know, I mean, you've got horse butchers. And
everywhere.
You've got donkey sausages, especially down in the southwest. They've got, you go to whole stalls and it's just full of donkey sausages.
Well, there you are.
Horses for courses.
Oh,
is that like a first course, second course?
What's for the next course?
Yeah, exactly. Some guys have had a lucky escape getting home to Alabama, which Lee wrote the headline, Sweet Home Alabama.
Alabama.
That's the one. As passengers got off a stricken Carnival cruise ship after several days of being out there with no engines.
It was pretty bad, wasn't it? I'm sure we've all seen the news reports.
Yeah, but
it.
I'm going to just share something.
Be controversial
because of my friends that used to live on a radio ship called the MV Ross Revenge out in the North Sea for years on end with no ruddy engines at all because it was knackered. Who's just clicked the Windows box? And you know, all they had was nav lights and generators for the actual power of the social side of the ship. No power in the engines whatsoever. Out there for years. Did they whinge about it? No.
Yeah, but they hadn't paid to go on a cruise around the ocean thing, had they?
Ocean thing. What's that?
So apparently this is the same company that owns the liner that's still stuck on the side of Italy somewhere
that's
as well.
That's right, they do, exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think questions do need to be asked where these... All right, some of them only paid £300 for the $300 actually for the crew, so it wasn't...
Ooh. Jeez.
Yeah, it wasn't an expensive cruise.
You get what you paid for, then, don't you? I mean,
no,
you certainly don't.
No, I'd have had some of that. Just think of
it.
What?
Do you know, in Australia,
in
the last 5 years, we've had 3 murders on cruises.
No.
Yeah, you know, one a couple of weeks ago.
Wow.
Why?
Mm.
Why?
Oh, maybe they weren't liked. Maybe they didn't tip well.
Well, but now I'm just thinking, guys. If it was, what was it, $300, Lee?
Round about $300, some of them.
Oh, I'd have about
£200.
I'd have had some of that.
But you had to defecate to use that posh word in a plastic bag, and you stuck it outside the door. There was no food, and it was swimming in all sorts of things. It was like the streets of Paris.
Yeah, but just think how much...
The streets of Gladstone.
Well, I understand that there were lots of French people on there. They were all very happy, actually.
Yeah, but the other thing
the
is...
They
said, oh, yeah, we're going to do one of these again.
Right, the other thing, though, guys, just think of the compensation you're going to get. You pay $300 out, you're probably going to get $300,000 back.
Well, actually, no, what they've done, and I think this is really funny, they have said that they will give them back the money they spent on the cruise.
That's all right.
And they've also said that they'll give them a discount on the next cruise.
Very good.
Rushing to do that. One of the boats is stuck on the side of an island, and the other one's full of that thing that's in Paris.
Right, exactly. And that's the end of part one, boys and girls, on Postcard from Pop Brad. We'll be back fast and you can make that milkshake, have a cup of tea or even eat a horsey burger. And we'll be talking to Lorraine as we come right back on one of my pet subjects, which is getting kids into games without blood, gall and guts, because it's so important that kids actually learn how to use gaming, understand the media and so on and so forth. So we've got somebody making games that go onto Windows just for kids. That'll be straight back after the break. Do not go away.
Eric, give me a break.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.